Penguin Random House presents India's Struggle for Independence, revised and updated by Bipin Chandra, Mridula Mukherjee, Aditya Mukherjee, Sucheta Mahajan, K.N. Panikar, read by Derek Denzel. Bhumila Thapar and S. Gopal. Acknowledgements. This work is partly the result of an ongoing research project on the history of Indian National Movement, conducted under the direction of Bipin Chandra and financed by the Indian Council of Social Science Research. A special feature of the project is that apart from utilizing traditional sources such as archives, private papers, institutional papers and newspapers, it has attempted to use the experience and understanding of the grassroots-level participants in the national movement. We are extremely thankful to more than 1,500 freedom fighters who gave freely of their time and extended us generous hospitality when we interviewed them. Along with Bipin Chandra, three of the contributors to the volume, Mridula Mukherjee, Aditya Mukherjee and Sucheta Mahajan, are members of this project. We are grateful to K.N. Panikar for contributing two chapters to the book. We have benefited immensely from a long-term interaction with S. Gopal and Romila Thapar. Many colleagues and students, V. Ramakrishna, D. N. Gupta, Prem Chaudhary, Mohinder Singh, Sashi Joshi, Bhagwan Josh, Lajpat Jagga, A. Murli, K. Gopalan Kutty, C. S. Krishna, Gyan Kudasya, Visalakshi Menon, A. Thomas, Vinita Damodaran, Harjot Oberoi, Nirja Singh, C. Chandramohan, have enabled us to evolve our ideas and have also helped in several other ways. Many friends, P.C. Joshi, B.D. Talib, Barun Day, S. Bhattacharya, V.N. Datta, Ravinder Kumar, Hitesh Sanyal, Randhir Singh, Mohit Sen, Keval Verma, Pramod Kumar, have deepened our knowledge of the subject through discussions and criticism. We would like to thank the directors and the staff of the National Archives and various state archives, the Nehru Memorial Museum and Library, the Jawaharlal Nehru University Library and other libraries in Delhi and other parts of the country for allowing us to use their facilities. We are in particular thankful to B.R. Nanda, V.C. Joshi, D.N. Panigrahi and Harideo Sharma of the National of the Nehru Memorial Museum and Library for their assistance. As usual, Usha Chandra has contributed in multiple ways to the making of this volume. We would also like to thank the publishers and especially David Davidar and Sudha Sudhanand for their interest and cooperation in seeing the book through its many stages. We also wish to thank J.S. Baveja, who rendered invaluable assistance by cheerfully typing the manuscript under tremendous pressure. A note on style. In order to ensure the continuity of the book's narrative, the authors of various chapters are mentioned here and nowhere else in the volume. The introduction and chapters 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 11, 18, 19, 20, 23, 24, 25, 26, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 38 and 39 have been written by Bipin Chandra. Chapters 1 and 6 have been written by K.N. Panikar. Chapters 10, 17 and 29 have been written by Aditya Mukherjee. Chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 21, 22, 27, 28 and 35 have been written by Mridula Mukherjee. And chapters 36 and 37 have been written by Sucheta Mahajan. Introduction. The Indian National Movement was undoubtedly one of the biggest mass movements modern society has ever seen. It was a movement which galvanized millions of people of all classes and ideologies into political action and brought to its knees a mighty colonial empire. Consequently, along with the British, French, Russian, Chinese, Cuban and Vietnamese revolutions, it is of great relevance to those wishing to alter the existing political and social structure. Various aspects of the Indian National Movement, especially Gandhian political strategy, are particularly relevant to these movements in societies that broadly function within the confines of the rule of law and are characterized by a democratic and basically civil libertarian polity. But it is also relevant to other societies. We know for a fact that even Lech Walesa consciously tried to incorporate elements of Gandhian strategy in the Solidarity movement in Poland. The Indian National Movement, in fact, provides the only actual historical example of a semi-democratic or democratic type of political structure being successfully replaced or transformed. It is the only movement where the broadly Gramscian theoretical perspective of a war of position was successfully practiced, where state power was not seized in a single historical movement of revolution, but through prolonged popular struggle on a moral, political, and ideological level, where reserves of counter-hegemony were built up over the years through progressive stages, where the phases of struggle alternated with passive phases. The Indian National Movement is also an example of how the constitutional space offered by the existing structure could be used without getting co-opted by it. It did not completely reject the space, as such rejection in democratic societies entails heavy costs in terms of hegemonic influence and often leads to isolation, but entered it and used it effectively in combination with non-constitutional struggle to overthrow the existing structure. The Indian National Movement is perhaps one of the best examples of the creation of an extremely wide movement with a common aim in which diverse political and ideological currents could coexist and work, and simultaneously continue to contend for overall ideological and political hegemony over it. While intense debate on all basic issues was allowed, the diversity and tension did not weaken the cohesion and striking power of the movement. On the contrary, this diversity and atmosphere of freedom and debate became a major source of its strength. Today, over 40 years after independence, we are still close enough to the freedom struggle to feel its warmth and yet far enough to be able to analyze it coolly, and with the advantage of hindsight. Analyze it we must, for our past, present and future are inextricably linked to it. Men and women in every age and society make their own history, but they do not make it in a historical vacuum de novo. Their efforts, however, innovative at finding solutions to their problems in the present and charting out their future, are guided and circumscribed, molded and conditioned by their respective histories, their inherited economic, political and ideological structures. To make myself clearer, the path that India has followed since 1947 has deep roots in the struggle for independence. The political and ideological features which have had a decisive impact in post-independence development are largely a legacy of the freedom struggle. It is a legacy that belongs to all the Indian people, regardless of which party or group they belong to now. For the party which led this struggle from 1885 to 1947 was not then a party, but a movement. All political trends from the right to the left were incorporated in it. What are the outstanding features of the freedom struggle? A major aspect is the values and modern ideals on which the movement itself was based and the broad socio-economic and political vision of its leadership. This vision was that of a democratic, civil, libertarian, and secular India, based on a self-reliant, egalitarian, social order, and an independent foreign policy. The movement popularized democratic ideas and institutions in India. The nationalists fought for the introduction of a representative government on the basis of popular elections and demanded that elections be based on adult franchise. The Indian National Congress was organized on a democratic basis and in the form of a parliament. It not only permitted but encouraged free expression of opinion within the party and the movement. Some of the most important decisions in its history were taken after heated debates and on the basis of open voting. From the beginning, nationalists fought against the attacks by the state on the freedoms of the press, expression and association, and made the struggle for these freedoms an integral part of the national movement. During their brief spell in power from 1937 to 39, the Congress ministries greatly extended the scope of civil liberties. The defense of civil liberties was not narrowly conceived in terms of one political group, but was extended to include the defense of other groups whose views were politically and ideologically different. The early nationalists, then called moderates, defended Tilak, the leader of the radical nationalists, then called extremists, and non-violent congressmen passionately defended revolutionary nationalists and communists alike during their trials. In 1928, the Public Safety Bill and Trade Disputes Bill were opposed not only by Motilal Nehru, but also by conservatives like Madan Mohan Malviya and M.R. Jaikar. It was this strong civil libertarian and democratic tradition of the national movement which was reflected in the constitution of independent India. The freedom struggle was also a struggle for economic development. In time, an economic ideology developed which was to dominate the views of independent India. The national movement accepted, with near unanimity, the need to develop India on the basis of industrialization, which in turn was to be independent of foreign capital and was to rely on the indigenous capital goods sector.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?